Penwilt, in the heart of the Brecon Beacons National Park, was once a thriving industrial village, full of life and activity, before its fortunes changed dramatically. Here, three of those who lived as children in Penwilt talk about home life and what it was like to live there.
Phil Lewis.
I was born in 1928, up in the mountains. The name of the house was Tŷ Mawr, which is rather amusing, because Tŷ Mawr means a big house, and it was far from it. We did have four bedrooms, but they were very small. My father had sort of converted it. He was very capable, my father. He could do all sorts of things. But I think the finer points of building maybe had missed him, because it was an incredibly damp house. It was so damp. But the first thing you woke up in the morning and your feet hit the lino, which was ice cold, and down the bottom sort of foot of the wall, it was dark grey or almost black with damp. But that was the sort of house it was, actually, with a big garden, which was essential to grow food. And at the end of that garden was a little pigsty, and where our pig lived. And we had a pig every year. Few people did, but we had plenty of room for him. And he lived up the top, each one was killed every year. The pig killing was quite amazing. I mean, the pig lived with you for about 9 months. With great affection, you went up and you scratched it, and they loved being scratched and things. And then the day would come when it was time to kill them. And we used to have a sort of day off school when it killed a pig. I can see it now coming down the path. The railway gang used to help my father to drag the pig down. And the butcher used to arrive. He was a farmer up the valley. He used to arrive with his leather bag of knives. And he used to come and he used to drag this poor thing down, squealing, because he knew it was coming to an end, and bleed it to death. And we all watched, the youngsters watched. And it was hung up in the shed. Everything happened in the shed overnight. And next day it was rigored like a rock, you know, and the butcher would be back and he'd cut it up like an artist, beautiful cut. And for all the gang who had helped to drag the pig down, the frying pan was busy all evening cutting, you know, the new bits, spare rib and thing out of the pig. And we were running around the village with payoffs of bits of meat. So the whole village smelt of pig, cooked pig, lovely.
Well, my name is Alan Doyle. I was born on the 10th of November 1944 in one of the bungalows that was called Butler's Terrace. This backed onto the railway line. Basically, two bedrooms, a big living room, and what was classed as a scullery. Nearly everybody in the village had a garden plot, and my father, he was a very good gardener. All the vegetables you can think of, potatoes, you name it, it was grown in everybody's garden. And it was quite funny, because my dad could never grow beetroot. His beetroot was terrible. But the man next door, Mr. Brown, he could grow beautiful beetroot, but he couldn't grow carrots. And my dad always had beautiful carrots. So what they used to do was they used to swap. My dad would give Mr. Brown some carrots, and Mr. Brown would give my dad some beetroot. And that's how it went on, you know. And that was throughout the village, basically. Everything was grown in the garden in those days. And used to have a really good harvest, I can remember. Remember sort of helping out in the garden as a child, you know, going down with my dad.
Well, I'm Hubert Bengwe. I was born in Penwith. My grandmother kept the pub. She was the landlady of the pub.
And I was born there. I often went into the pub. I started drinking beer when I was about five. I'd go in there, my grandmother would give me a little drop of beer in a wine glass.
Tell me a bit more about your home. It was quite a small place.
Yeah, very small. It was a front door and a passage. There was one room there where we sort of used for odd things, really. Then there was the main, at the back where the oven was. It was the only cooking facility was an oven next door to the open fire.
And what kind of food would you cook there?
Plain food. Roast, of course. You could roast. My mother used to roast in the oven. You'd cook anything. Chickens. We kept chickens. We kept ducks. Plenty of fertilizer came from the chickens. And, of course, sheep used to come wandering about. And so there was usually plenty of fertilizer around. But, you know, no, we didn't used to eat sort of fancy food. Used to make a lot of sort of cowl. Cowl is Welsh for sort of soup, broth. My mother used to make a lot of that. And she used to make a lot of pastry things, and make apple tarts and things like that, you know. Things cooked in the oven were lovely, in the coal-fired oven.
Mm. Well, breakfast was simple. It was a piece off the bacon hanging up from the ceiling, white with fat. The pig was bred to give us bulk, and therefore there was a lot of fat on the pig. And then toast on a fork in front of the fire. It would never burn because you couldn't possibly hold it there for long enough for it to be burned. Tea, toast, and this bacon, yes. And food otherwise was you had to live. You don't you weren't fussy about what you ate as long as you had something.
At the bottom of the hill that we led up to the village, there was a few farms. But there was one farm called the Ongar Farm, and Avery Powell, he was an elderly gentleman, and he used to walk up that hill with two really big stainless steel cans, and he used to put a strong piece of round wood across his shoulders, and there was a can on each side, and he'd walk all the way up the hill with the milk from the farm, and he'd have a measure as well, and he'd go around all the houses, and he would sell the milk, and everybody used to bring their jugs out, and you had so much milk, you know, mm-hmm. whatever measure you had. Now, cheese and butter and stuff like that, that came from the general stores. Although I had an aunt who was very friendly with a farm down near Catlin Church, and we used to spend the weekend down there. We'd always come back with some bacon and, best of all, homemade farm butter. I wish to come home with this really fresh butter, you know, that had been made on the farm.
Tell me about the work that had to go on in the home. I mean, did you have particular chores that you had to do, or did your siblings have chores?
Well, very little in the home. But my dad, although he worked on the railway, he had a few part-time jobs. On Saturday, he was supplied with a big, huge wooden wheelbarrow, and people used to put their rubbish out, and he used to shovel it all into his barrow, sweep the street around Paddy's cottages, Auntie Mauer, as it was known, up on the top. And we used to wheel this barrow, and I used to help him wheel it and shovel the stuff into the barrow. And the other side of the railway bridge at the top end of the village, there was an big embankment, and it was literally all the rubbish was just tipped down there. That's where all the rubbish went. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday afternoon, the water supply to the village was a standing pipe in the middle of the street. So Powell Street, which was, 10 houses, had one standing pipe in the middle of the street. Everybody came out and got their water from that. And a little bit further up the river was a small brick-built dam, if you can imagine a square brick block with an open top. But going out of the left-hand side was a big cast pipe suspended in the air, length of about 12 feet, I would think, and it disappeared underground. And that carried the water all the way down to Penwith. And that was another job that my dad had after having done the, got rid of the rubbish and cleaned up. Saturday afternoon, we used to walk up to this little dam, because the pipe had like a grill over it. I had to clean all the grass off it, any rubbish, sweep all the bottom of the dam out, and clean all the silt out. But in the winter, people would go and get water, they'd turn the tap on, no water. So then we used to have to go up. Like I remember, a few of my friends used to come with my dad as well. We used to carry cardboard, newspapers, bits of wood. Mr. Morris from the quarry would give my dad some tyres, stuff like that, old lorry tyres. And we'd carry all this stuff back up to this dam. Might even be, I can remember going up there in the dark. And that bit of pipe that I mentioned that was exposed, the water would have frozen. So the water wasn't flowing. So what we had to do was light a big fire underneath this pipe, set fire to it, and wait there for a while. And then once we knew the water was flowing, we'd try and put as much rubbish as we could onto this fire to keep it going. And then off we'd go. By the time we got back to the village, the water would be flowing in the tap.
The washing facilities and that were pretty primitive. We had a little sort of porch thing out the back, and it was just with bowls of water, and then every so often out came the big bath in front of the fire. It was a once-a-week bath.
For the whole family?
Yeah. My father was lucky. They had some equivalent of a modern shower down at the works, so he never needed to have any sort of overall wash at home.
And one day, two ladies arrived from Swansea in a small van, wanting to demonstrate an Acme hand-agitated washing machine. And could they possibly ask my mother if they could use our house for the demonstration? They said, no, it's very reasonable, you can pay it, you know, as you go along. But we'd like to at least to demonstrate, and what's more, we'd like some of your friends and neighbours in the village to bring some clothes, and we'll show them how it works as well. What these nice little ladies from Swansea hadn't realised is that the whole village were other neighbours or friends, and they all arrived with baskets of clothes. And I always remember it. It must have been 7 o'clock in the evening before they packed up and went home.
So they'd washed the whole village.
Yeah, they were. Yes, they'd washed everybody's washing, and the only one they sold one machine to my mother, who was so embarrassed.
What was it like in winter?
The weather was terrible. Snow. We used to have a terrific amount of snow. You know, nothing would be completely covered. Cars, 6 feet. Snow. Every year we had terrific amount of snow. Every year we couldn't go to school. You know, it was this sort of place people put sacks against the door to stop the draft. I know we used to, or an old coat or something on the door. And we used to put fold newspaper and put it around the door, you know. And it would be a good place to put a wind farm, Penwith. It's always blowing there. It's quite high, you see. It's about 1,000 feet above sea level.
Being up in the mountains, we were in cloud quite often. It was dank and awful on a bad day, and we had a lot of those. On a sunny day, it was glorious. You know, it was nothing between you and the sun, really. It was it was hefty. When it rained, as I said, we used to put heavy sacks over our back to walk through the rain down to the bus to the school. You'd get drenched otherwise, drenched through, and you left them over the wall down where the bus was and picked them up at night. They were heavy to carry home again. Now, I've always admired the way that we never seem to be short of anything, you know, and yet for the grown-ups, there must have been hellish sacrifices. There must have been very, very difficult times, you know. But they did it, and they never never seemed to reflect it back onto the children or blame the children or anything. You know, they were a tough lot of people. Yeah, tough.
That's the end of the first Penwilt podcast, but there are two others to listen to, on community life and industrial life. This podcast has been produced by Martha Roberts for the Brecon Beacons National Park Authority.